You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Music Interval Theory Podcast. My name is Frank and I'm your host for today's episode, although this time I only give a short introduction before my partner TC takes over the scene. At the beginning of this year, TC had the privilege of conducting a fascinating interview with our esteemed member, John Isley. Today, I'm thrilled to share this insightful conversation with you, and if you're a member of the Academy, you have the added bonus of accessing the video version of this interview. Before I transition into the video, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to John for his time, dedication, and all the great music he brings into this world. John, your contributions to the Music Interval Theory Academy are truly invaluable. On a quick side note, at some point in the future, I'd like to have the pleasure of tasting your fantastic cooking skills, just like TC did, but we'll find out more about that in a few minutes. Let's roll.
So, I'm in focus, you're in focus, hocus pocus dominocus. So, John, thanks for hanging out.
I'm thrilled to be here.
It's been really an amazing couple of days and eye-opener for me and on a lot of levels. And I'm going to ask you a few questions about a project that we're doing.
Okay.
And I think you're going to be enjoying hearing about it, but before I do that, let me find out a little bit more about you and your band.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your band is DP for Deep Pockets. Or yeah. Is it Deep Pocket?
Deep Pocket.
Deep Pocket.
Pocket, no S.
I like that. And I'm assuming that pocket means the groove. You guys are a groove machine, right?
That's what we're going for, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I've heard of what you've done, that's what it sounds like. It sounds great. And
thank you.
How big is the band? Is it four guys or six guys, or you just have some people that are the core and then you add if you need more?
The core is usually three to five, give or take, and then we can add, we routinely do sessions with up to six horn players, but we can do up to a full big band. We can bring in, 18 horns if you need them.
Yeah. So, you know. So I'm going to need deep pockets for that. So that's great. And everybody's from New York?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone's based in the New York metropolitan area.
Okay.
I've been there for almost 40 years and have developed a lot of connections to the community and to the, to other horn players and, spend a lot of time in the trenches with them, making noise together.
Your stories have been fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed them. You've toured with a lot of pretty famous people, I would say. And you said you've been in all 51 states around the world, with Diana Ross, other people.
For the last 13 years, I've been the saxophone player for Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. He was an associate of Bruce Springsteen.
The
band's based out of Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing baritone with Diana Ross, off and on for several years. And I've done, a million gigs along the way. Everything from, major concerts to, go through the kitchen.
Go through the kitchen. Yeah.
Going through the kitchen.
Yeah.
But I've been very fortunate. I've had a good career and, it's been a blessing.
Yeah. Well, being from New York is interesting. First of all, as soon as I hear a musician is from New York, I immediately have a feeling of competence because it takes a lot to make a living in New York, just like LA. LA is the same. And you've been doing it for a lot of years. So, my immediate deduction would be, well, this guy knows what the hell he's doing. And after talking to you, I'm positive you know what you're doing. So, whereabouts in New York are you from?
So I live currently with my wife and my four cats in Upper Manhattan. I'm all the way uptown above the George Washington Bridge in a neighborhood called Inwood.
Inwood.
You know, basically, if you were thinking of it in terms of streets, I'd be at about 203rd Street. And Manhattan ends at 218th Street.
I see.
So yeah. Way uptown.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, then this song is an interesting song. We're hoping it's going to have an interesting life.
Right.
We're videotaping or documenting the writing of the tune, the production of the tune. And I'm doing it by days. And this day is the eighth day. And the title of this, we'll call it an episode. It's not necessarily an episode, but it's going to be a separate video, is putting together the production team. Mm. So that's the title of this episode. And I wrote this sketch of this tune. And I am also a guy that loves languages. So I'm trying to learn French.
Right.
And I'm actually getting pretty good at reading it. I'm not so good at pronouncing it, but I'm getting pretty good at reading it. And so I thought I would write a song in French in front of everybody, which turned out to be really difficult because I didn't consider that the whole rhythm of the French language is completely different than English.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting observation that I'd never thought of either.
And so all of a sudden I find myself being videotaped and I'm trying to type the language in there and I'm seeing, well, that doesn't really fit with the melody rhythm, you know, and I'm having to waste people's time. So it's been quite a ride. But anyway, the basic tune is done. And a couple of reasons why you interested me as far as a sound goes is, number one, you play all the saxophones. Maybe even, I don't know if you play flute or not, but
I play flute, you know, all the flutes, clarinets, a million other instruments.
Okay, yeah, you're multifaceted woodwind player. And you play iwi.
Yes, I do.
And iwi is not an easy instrument, is it?
I wouldn't say it's particularly hard or easy. It's just different. And you know, when you're talking about the saxophone or the flute or the guitar, or you know, any instrument that is a that has a traditional standardized history, and you also have to look at those instruments in the fact that they are natural acoustic instruments. Right. They create their timbres and their sounds through resonance, string vibrating over a tone hole, a reed vibrating through a column, you know, blowing over a hole and splitting the airstream, you know, on a flute, you know, that sort of thing. Whereas the iwi, you're removed from that. You're separated from the tonal generation because the iwi is basically just a MIDI driver. And so it all comes down to the programming. Huh. You know, so the real challenge with iwi is not just the technical aspect, which has its own challenges, but it's really the programming of sounds for the expression that you're trying to get across, and the color and the timbre you're trying to get across. And I think that's honestly why there aren't that many really great iwi players, because they haven't invested the time to develop sound for themselves, an identifiable sound.
So now the iwi, you can design the sound whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So you could fit into a section and just color a section. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's going to be really interesting. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit more. So this tune is Je t'aime plus que tu ne le sais, which means I love you more than you know. And it's the subject matter is a beautiful little white English cocker named Savvy, who you've met now.
Who is an absolute little doll.
Yes. And so we're going to give the impression through this whole song that the song is about a woman.
Right.
And somewhere in the song, we'll have to figure out where in the video that will go to the song, we'll see that it's really about Savvy.
Right.
And so it's you know, there's a lot of challenges in this song. And the production of it, one of the challenges it for me is I want to find the right teams mm-hmm. for the video, for the music, and for all of that, and getting the sound. And I'm going to ask you, first of all, if you're even interested or have the time to put the horn section together, mm-hmm. and if we could use DP
absolutely.
Horns.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
For this tune, and record it in New York. So I would fly to New York
right.
to attend a session. It's basically a one-day deal,
right.
if we could do that. I don't care how early we got to do it. I'll fly in one day, and the next day record, and then leave the day after. Or in the evening, it depends, because I'm going to have my private plane that we're flying in with for this.
Right.
Also, I would want to videotape you a little bit working.
Right.
And also meet the guys,
hey,
you
yeah.
know, some of them. Yeah. But so there would be that. And so that's kind of what I'm planning. So we have to put together an itinerary when that would work, because you travel. The pilot has right. to know where we're going to be and right. how long. And Lisa will have to book rooms and all that sort right. of stuff for the pilot and myself. This pilot you're going to love. He's also a real dear friend. His name is Randy Brooks. And he's been flying since he was 12.
Wow, that's amazing.
One of those type of guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to get my pilot's license, and I've just never pursued it.
Well, you have plenty of a chance to talk with Randy, and I think you'll enjoy that. I'm thinking probably sometime in a month
mm-hmm.
in there, but we'll talk about scheduling
yeah.
because you have to see the studio. I'd need to see a little bit about what you think it's going to cost.
Right.
To do it,
right.
and we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can put a budget together easily.
Yeah.
That won't be a problem.
So that was a big thing for me. It was to, okay, first of all, you became a MEDA member,
mm-hmm.
which is just fantastic. And by the way, I love what you write on the membership meetings and some of the listening things that we have for the guys. You're writing some great stuff. So
oh, thank you.
And you've expressed to me how much you're enjoying the academy. So I'm pleased about that. I want to keep everything in the academy. So that right. that was a plus right there. Plus, you show up all the time.
90% of life is showing up.
That's true. That's, yeah. Yeah.
And then hoping you have the, you know, that you've prepared for the inevitability, you know.
Yeah.
I love being a part of MEDA. You know, the entire concept of MEDA and, you know, intervallic theory as the way it has been explained by you and by Frank, it really felt like coming home. It really did.
Great.
Felt like coming home. It's like I finally found my tribe.
Yeah, good.
So to speak, you know, just the way the system agrees with the way my brain processes information and music, and it's been a revelation. That would be a good word for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a total revelation.
Well, it's been interesting, you know, because I follow all the guys that, right. that show up. I take notice. And I was really happy that you actually just came in with a lifetime membership. which doesn't happen that often.
Right.
You know? So.
Well, I just, you know, it's like after a few months of working through the program and realizing the degree to which it made sense to me, you know, the process made sense to me, and the system and, the, you know, the overall picture, you know, made sense to me. And there's the amount of information that is available inside the MEDA portal. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're paying for the composition course or you're just looking at the, you know, the free stuff
yeah.
that's there, is immense. I mean, it's just immense. And I, you know, and I looked at like, you know, how long is it going to take me to go through everything that is on this site? Not to mention going through all the lessons for the composition course, but, you know, everything else that's there, the orchestration course, all of the other, you know, small videos and the podcasts, which I've listened to every podcast episode, you know, at this point. And, you know, if you sit down and you do the math, the lifetime membership is actually really worth it. You know,
great. I love it.
Because there's just no time, you know, there's not enough time, you know, to study it all at the same time. You know, as I said to you and I said to Frank, you know, earlier, it's like, I'm all in.
That's great. You know. Well, the nice thing, and I know you're already experiencing this, is you're amongst a lot of people and it gives you some power because there's a lot of experts in different things. And you're being here with me is proof of that because you're a member. I got to know you that because of that.
Right.
And so now we're going to be working on a project together, which is, I know you didn't expect that, but that's the way.
I'm very thankful for it and grateful for it. But yeah, no, that was not my expectation. But the fact that, you know, you're in an environment with some very heavy people, you know, people who are really, really good at what they do. And, you know, and it challenges you, you know, and the idea is like, I got to rise to the occasion on this. I don't want to look like the chump here.
Well, yeah, you're extremely well educated and experienced. So you would never come off as anything other than stellar. But I'm glad. I think this is also going to add to your power, you know, is knowledge on how to look at intervals and stuff like that. So I'm really happy. So I'll put a package together for you.
Okay.
And we'll have a meeting with Frank.
Okay.
Probably just a Zoom meeting because I'm not going to ask you to fly out here for a meeting.
Oh, I'll fly back. Why not?
Well, it is a nice place to stay, you have to say.
It's amazing, yeah.
So yeah, Water's Edge is a nice home.
It is a very nice home. It's a beautiful studio. And, you know, it's a beautiful place to be. It really
also,
is.
Also, I have to... I would be remiss, or actually I'd be in trouble with my wife if I didn't say, wow, you can cook your ass off. Thank you for dinner last night. That was really marvelous.
You are very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And that just shows how deep your artistic abilities go, because you were making an analogy, artistic analogy, with cooking and composition last night that I thought was really excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, my take on cooking is very much more like my take on music. It's, you know, you're playing the ingredients just like you would be organizing notes on a page, you know, to create a mood or a texture or a sound, you know, so you're taking these disparate elements and, you know, and it's like, okay, a little, you know, little oboe here and a little piccolo there and a little flute there and, oh, there's a timpani. You know, and, you know, the same thing is true with, you know, ingredients and spices for food. And I grew up at the apron strings of my grandmother learning to cook. And I don't consider myself a chef. You know, the chefs are people that are, you know, they're the maestros of the food world. Yeah. You know, I'm a cook.
Yeah.
I'm a cook. But I know what I like. I know how to put things together. And, you know, and hopefully they turn out reasonable. And
well, I'll tell you, my whole family was impressed. That was really awesome.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'll be happy to do it anytime.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to be back for sure. So, John, thank you so much for taking some time.
Oh, you're very
welcome. And I'm very happy that you're going to be doing the horns on this.
And I'm thrilled to be a part of the project.
All right.
And thank you for having me.
Sounds good. John Isley, an amazing musician.
Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.